This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, August 14th, 2009, Gillette Stadium. Andy Hart here, joined by Paul Perillo. Kenny Chesney and company are setting up outside our studio right now, but bigger news in New England, bigger than Kenny Chesney and the Country Music Festival, is Patriots' first preseason game last night in Philadelphia, where they were dominant, I thought, at times early, when it was ones versus sort of ones for Philadelphia, held on for a 27-25 victory thanks to David Akers missing a late field goal that would have given the home team the victory. But I thought the score told the story. The Patriots were the better football team with the players that mattered. And we're going to break it down, Paul Perillo. We're going to talk about some of the battles, roster spots, contributions from returning veteran types and some new faces. First, I want to go through some of the guys that didn't play and or make the trip, which I thought was notable. And atop that list, I would put number 84, Benjamin Watson. Paul, you have a Pulse story in this week's upcoming Patriots Football Weekly. Not only Watson not playing, but Chris Baker, a pair of touchdowns. Rave reviews from probably the most important critic, Tom Brady, postgame. Just raved about the adjustments Baker made on a lot of things they hadn't even really gone over. Sort of instinctive moves and adjustments on blitzes, breaking routes off. Pair of touchdowns. How do you see the tight end position unfolding right now with all the depth that's there?
Well, I think it's a very good situation. Overall for the Patriots and for Belichick, I think he's going to have some tough decisions to make, and he's going to have to decide exactly how he wants to employ that position in what I think is going to be a very explosive offense, much like we all thought with Brady back. And in addition to Chris Baker that you mentioned accurately with the two touchdowns and the work that that Brady talked about him, but David Thomas, I think, showed me anyway that he could do some things that I wasn't sure he was able to do, and that is operate out of the backfield as a lead blocker and an effective lead blocker. On more than one occasion, the most notable one that we all wrote about was a third and one that Lawrence Maroney easily picked up with a four-yard gain. David Thomas blasting the hole open, blasting the way for Maroney. So there's a couple of guys working that they had three tight end sets occasionally after that. Alex Smith was a part of those. He didn't really do anything that stood out to me on either side, positive or negative. And Tyson DeVries was also there. So I think it's really, really bad news, Andy, for Benjamin Watson. I think that the fact that the guy can't stay on the field, can't practice, can't stay healthy, and has not been in uniform for the majority of the summer, I think his roster spot is in serious jeopardy right now.
I kind of agree with you. I think it's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds in coming weeks. Obviously, probably the most physically gifted of the group, but at some point that no longer matters, and you got to think of it as production and what you can count on. It looks like you can certainly count on Chris Baker. Looks like you can count on Dave Thomas to do something. We didn't, you know, we always refer to him as the soft hands guy who would maybe be, you know, an underneath pass.
We know Thomas
threat.
Can catch the ball.
Now he's a powerful fullback,
right? We know he can catch the ball better than Watson.
Theoretically. Hasn't done it a ton in actual game action.
But we don't know. We didn't know that he could block as well. Or
Bill clearly did. It's all he's done in training camp is line up at fullback, come in motion as a lead blocker. So
I think that's
Bill,
a very good
Bill
sign
Bill Belichick
for him.
Right again.
Well, not surprisingly.
He saw a soft hands tight end and said, that guy can block. And he can.
Not surprisingly.
Son of a. Let's stick on the offensive side of the ball. Another guy who did not play, although he did make the trip to the link, was Wes Welker. Did some pregame warm-ups, but then did not take part. His fill-in, and really looked like a fill-in, was number 11 rookie Julian Edelman. Five catches, 35 yards, just filled in that role nicely underneath all the types of patterns they throw to Welker. I thought he looked really good, and I know he's been raved about by a lot of people early in this preseason. He also added a 75-yard punt return, which I thought he made a nice cut on, and then showed decent burst to keep it going towards the end zone. Just your thoughts on his performance.
Well, I know a lot of people are going to talk about the punt return, but that really was secondary to me, although I do agree with you, Andy. I thought he made a nice return. I thought he took what was there initially, and then he
hit it.
He turned it into a touchdown with good open field running. So, for that he's to be commended. I thought he was more impressive operating out of the slot. And the reason I say that is not because the stats were mind-boggling, because they weren't. He only averaged seven and change, or 7 yards a catch, so that's not overly impressive. But this guy, you have to remember, is coming out of college where he was a full-time quarterback. He wasn't a wildcat quarterback in college. He was Kent State's 3-year starter at quarterback, and now he's trying to become a wide receiver. And there was one play in particular. There was a couple of plays that you and I were joking. Well, you know, that looked like Welker. Only difference was Welker probably would have scored it free and gotten a couple extra yards, and one in particular would have gotten a first down. And then later, all of a sudden, he comes flying across the middle, and we both looked at each other and said, well, that was Welker. That's exactly what Welker would have looked like on that play. So I think his development to this point as a wide receiver has been quite impressive. I think he's, I think I'd call him a roster lock at this point.
I would,
but,
too.
But I think he may actually be knocking on the door for a role in the offense, not just being on the team. I think he could have a role.
I don't want to make too much of it because it's been a short span here, but I think the most impressive thing from him is the day-to-day improvement. I mean, let's be honest. 10 days ago, he couldn't catch a punt. He could not hold on to it. Now he's catching them, I thought, flawlessly in the game, and including returning one for 75 yards, also handled some kickoffs. So I think just his development in that area shows, you know, I guess work ethic and the ability to improve and the natural ability, you know, being taken over through the practice reps.
And, you know, to illustrate your point, Andy, one of his attempts on a punt, I think it was the second one, he called for a fair catch and had to do so with a guy right in his grill. And, you know, let's face it, I know these guys are pros, but when you're talking about a guy
who's not a pro.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
He's
when you're
an amateur
about a guy
at receiver and punt return.
Just 7 or 8 days ago had a miserable time trying to catch punts in practice with no one around him. Was doing it with a uniform on in front of 50,000 people, 60,000 people. And there was a guy right in his face. I think that's a good sign for him and shows the development, as you said, Andy, the improvement that he's making from day to day. And he's not satisfied. Talking to him after the game last night, he, you know, said all the right things. You know, a long way to go, a lot of improvements to make, and the coaches really emphasize working on your weaknesses. And he obviously feels that's one of them. He's trying to develop as a return man and put himself into the picture there. That's a wide-open competition. There is, no shortage of candidates for that job. And, you know, his first step in a game anyway, in game situations, was a very positive one.
One last spot I want to highlight on the offensive side of the ball is quarterback Andrew Walter came in after Tom Brady, took a couple kneel downs in the second quarter, and then played the bulk of the third and fourth quarters. I thought was inconsistent, up and down, had some nice plays, had some poor plays. Kind of thought a middling performance, maybe what you'd expect from a guy who has talent, obviously as a former third-round pick, but has been in the system for a week and a half now, learning it, learning all the nuances of it, and, you know, his first opportunity to really see it against live defense and sort of the heat of battle. I thought enough to stick around, because I had my doubts as to if he
laid an egg,
he could
be cut. I thought if it was a disaster, yeah.
I think with a middling performance, and maybe it's the toughest decision for Belichick, but he needs to stick around and get more reps, and I thought that's warranted after that performance.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was a little bit uneven, but I thought I'm going to focus, based on the circumstances that he was thrown in there, you know, with about 10 days of practice, maybe not even, trying to learn the offense. I thought the good things that I saw to me were more impressive than the bad things I saw. I thought he showed a good arm, stood in the pocket well. I thought he was a little slow and indecisive to make some reads, but that's the part that I would say is to be expected based on his lack of familiarity with his personnel and with his system. So I agree with you, Andy. I think he definitely showed enough to stay around for a while. I was a little surprised that Kevin O'Connell came in to mop up in the last 5 minutes. They had a drive really, really backed up in their own end, and maybe that's why Bill wanted him out there. He wanted to see how he kind of handled that situation. They were up by two with about 5.5 minutes left, and they had a mishandle on the kickoff, and I think they wound up starting at their own 6-yard line, and he put O'Connell in for that series. And they were able to get off the goal line and get a first down or two, but unfortunately they weren't able to sustain any drive on that one.
Jumping to the other side of the ball, I thought the, not star of the night, but maybe one of the focal points of the night, was a surprise. Myron Pryor, 6th-round pick, defensive lineman, hadn't practiced a lot in training camp. Earned the start as the Patriots came out and basically went 4-man fronts the entire way, kind of what we've talked about a lot over the last couple of weeks on PFW in Progress. And I thought he played pretty well. And just the fact that he was out there with the starters, with the twos, with the threes, finished up the game in 4-man fronts. After talking so much about Ron Brace, it looks like maybe they have two young guys with some versatility and the ability to come in and play right away. And I know he talked about post-game. Biggest thing for him is the motor and being in shape enough to make sure he can have that same motor throughout a game and not just for a couple reps.
Yeah, and keep in mind that this isn't a lazy kid. This isn't a guy who came to training camp and he wasn't in shape or prepared. He was dealing with an injury that kept him off the field for a while. So he's getting his reps now very late in training camp, and he was out there for virtually wire-to-wire, 60 minutes. And he was as surprised as anyone that he played that much, but he was really excited to have done so. And you're right, Andy. I thought that was a nice surprise. And if they're going to do these four-man fronts, and it looks like they have these two different packages of four-man fronts, a heavy one and a lighter pass-rushing one, but it looks like the 4-3 is here to stay.
No question.
At least for the immediate future. Now, we'll see if it's a game plan thing. We'll see how much they go back and forth. Seymour was quick to correct me in the postgame. He said, you know, we could do 34, too, and you never know. We might come out and do a 34 next week. We'll see how that goes. But I thought Pryor, along with Brace, were two really positive signs in the middle of that defense.
Obviously, the focal point on the defense for much of training camp has been the edge, outside linebacker, the pass rush. I would just want to get your thoughts on that area. I didn't think it really stood out overly dramatically.
Yeah,
they had
I
a couple. Banta Kane had a sack, but
they
it was
had
not
pressure.
An edge rush sack.
Yeah.
So I just didn't think Derek Burgess, I didn't see a ton from him. Sean Crable got in there, and one of the plays I saw, he got chopped down like a tall tree.
Crable actually made some plays, but not necessarily in the pass rush. You know, the guy who I thought provided the most pressure consistently was Ninkovich, you know, throughout the second half. I thought they had pressure. I didn't think it was necessarily edge-related pressure the way you were talking about. And I also want to couch that by the fact that when the Patriots' ones were in there against Philadelphia's ones, they were really Philadelphia's twos. Three-fifths of that starting offensive line did not even suit up for the game. But I will say, you know, in Banta Kane's defense, he beat Jason Peters on his sack, and he is one of the starters, and he is a highly regarded one. He's a Pro Bowler, past Pro Bowler in Buffalo. So I think that's still a work in progress. I didn't see much of Derek Burgess, but again, a guy new to the system. I agree with you, Andy. I thought the pressure was there, but not necessarily edge-related.
I don't want to go too long here, so we'll quickly hit on a couple other spots. The secondary, we saw Jonathan Wilhite, as expected, start at left corner. Lee Bodden start at right corner. We
kind
had
of
the
up
normal
and down
safeties.
There too, I thought.
I thought, yeah, Wilhite got challenged deep a couple times, got a pass interference. Lee Bodden, I thought, had an kind of game, got beat by DeSean Jackson. Wasn't physical enough and aggressive enough in his tackling, I didn't think. So there were some things okay to see there, some things that weren't so great. They rotated through. Butler came off
the
bench.
Butler picked
Wilhite
up a PI, but then at least he responded by coming up with a pick on the two-point conversion, so at least he wouldn't hang his head. And I thought that was a ticky-tack pass interference, by the way, on Butler. I know that's my guy, but I feel
your
like...
Your guy, so you're blinded.
But and I do want to, and I know you didn't mean, I know what you meant, but Wilhite was an offensive pass interference that he was in the coverage on. I wouldn't make it sound like that he got a pass interference called against him, although I did think he was beaten on that play.
I did too. There was some separation he got by him. I think that's going to be – I think he's a physical guy, a slot guy.
I think
he has a lot
of
skills,
of a slot guy too.
Up 20 yards from the line of scrimmage. I think getting beat deep is going to be the concern with him. I'm not sure the turning and running and the real smooth hip transition there, I'm not sure that's the highlight of his game. And if people see that on tape, they'll obviously challenge it. A couple quick ones. Jake Ingram did all the long snapping. I didn't notice any problems. Nathan Hodel was not there, did not play, has not practiced the last couple days, but I thought that area was fine. And you mentioned the return game. Obviously, Edelman was kind of the star there. My guy, T. Nunn, mishandled a kickoff,
which started that drive on the goal line. Going. He made a nice catch, about a 15-yard catch over the middle, handled a couple of other kickoffs, and then had that one flub. And that's all it takes when you're a guy like that. That could be a damaging blow for him.
And then lastly, a couple other guys that didn't play, Teddy Bruschi, Paris Lennon, and I am wondering a little bit how much that's playing into these four-man fronts with the possibility. If those two guys suddenly get healthy, does that open up the 3-4 possibilities because you have some more depth inside there? But I thought, all in all, a good start to the season, a good first step here in the preseason. As Belichick said, they got to play a lot of players, especially on defense, and obviously that's the unit where there are jobs and roles to be won. We kind of know what the offense is going to be. Sure, Edelman can work his way in there. Sure, Galloway could work his way out after a suspect first game as a Patriot with a drop on a slant on a potential touchdown. But defensively, a lot of guys got reps. They have a lot of things to work on, but they got the victory. They were competitive, which Bill said
Bill
they weren't last year.
Bill was very happy to be competitive.
They were so lacking competitive nature last year that they were down 31-3 in a game they lost 27-17. You figure that one out, and we'll be back here next Friday, as always, to update you on each and every move as it relates to the roster, as well as another preseason game. Number two will be in the books, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Patriots here at Gillette Stadium. The roster battles will heat up, and so will Paul Perillo. Peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.